His name will be familiar to many of you. Dr. Bennett Omalu was the subject of the hit movie Concussion, starring Will Smith. He has a new book called Truth Doesn't Have a Side, My Alarming Discovery About the Danger of Contact Sports. We are pleased to have Dr. Omalu on the telephone with us. Doctor, welcome. Hey, and how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program. You have, it has been a while since you first made the discovery, what, 15 years since you did the autopsy on Mike Webster?
Yes.
And much has happened in the interim period, but are you shocked that not as much as maybe you would have hoped or expected has happened?
Well, I'm not shocked, no, because football and other sports are like religion in America. America is in love with their football, but that is why my focus is actually not about football or ice hockey or mixed martial arts. It's rather about the children. We need to save our children from harm.
You have been quoted as saying that with the discovery of CTE, you believe that allowing children to play football is nothing short of abuse, correct?
Well, I didn't really say it that way. However, yes. I believe strongly that no child under the age of 18 in America today should play the high-impact, high-impact sports like football, ice hockey, mixed martial arts, wrestling, rugby, and boxing. If a child plays these games, even just for one season, there is a 100% risk exposure to brain damage. Even for one season, and all it may take to permanently damage your child's brain may be just one concussion.
I don't know quite how to phrase this, but excuse me. Recently, a study was released that showed that I believe the number is 110 of 111 brains of posthumously have been identified as having CTE or brain damage generally caused by contact sports. And much has been made of that number, implying that some 99% of anybody who plays a contact sport like football will be subject to brain damage. And that, I've tried to say, that's a little misleading, because these are brains that were donated ostensibly because there was evidence to suggest that there may be CTE or some other brain disease involved. Give me your take on that.
Yes, you're right, Bob, because there was an article on ESPN.com. I have said there is too much fascination and obsession with CTE. CTE is just one of so many diseases that you could suffer following brain trauma or so many types of brain damage. CTE is just one. And we shouldn't focus only on one study. That is a misappropriation of the science. However, having said that, it is very well established. In fact, beginning with Hippocrates, the father of modern-day medicine, 400 years before Jesus Christ was born. In fact, Hippocrates termed it commotio cerebri, concussion of the brain. It's been very well established that there is nothing like a safe blow to the human head. Every blow to the human head has a risk of causing brain damage and brain injury. And the more severe, the more forceful the blow, the greater the risk of severe brain damage. The more repetitive the blows, the greater the risk of severe brain damage. And over the centuries, scientists, doctors that were much, much smarter than I am, have confirmed that if you play a game like football, you have a 100% risk exposure to brain damage. And if in the NFL or football, if you play to the level of the NFL, you play for many years, you receive thousands of blows to your head. There is a 100% risk probability that you've suffered some type of brain damage
right.
to a certain degree with or without CTE. This is the truth of the science, the truth of the fact. But the problem is the truth sometimes could be very inconvenient and could be very difficult, if not painful. But we should not deny the truth because of the love of football. That would be foolish love on our part. And that is why I have always said, football should not be banned. Football is a potentially dangerous sport, like other high-impact collision sports. Football should be played by adults. Our children should be protected from any potentially dangerous factor, like we have done with cigarette smoking. Now, Bob, listen to this. If my child comes to me and asks me for a stick of cigarette, I wouldn't give my child a stick of cigarette. But for many of we parents, if our children come to us and ask us if they can play football, we would let them put on a helmet on their head and send them to a field to receive blows to their head and
right.
with sub-concussions and concussions. Now, which is more dangerous, a stick of cigarette or a concussion of the brain? Of course, a concussion of the brain. If you stop smoking, about 10 years later, your organs and tissues may recover. But once you've suffered a concussion, it is permanent. The brain does not have any reasonable capacity to regenerate itself.
Right.
So knowing what we know today, the big question each and every parent must ask himself or herself is, do I love football more than I love my child? This was why I wrote my book, so that people will see my journey, will see what I faced and encountered, and will understand why I'm making these statements that I'm making today.
Okay, you bring up children, and you said earlier that it's something that CTE is just one of the facets of this, and I picked up on what you said, that we shouldn't ignore this because we love football. How much of this has to do with the big dollar amounts that are at stake here? The National Football League is the most profitable league in the world. Outside of soccer in Europe, it's the most profitable league in the world. Tell me how much of that has been an impact, and what you've seen, and how you may have been talked to and dissuaded from doing what you have done to bring this to light.
Well, it's what I call conformational intelligence, whereby society is embedded in a certain cast of the mind that influences each and every member of that society. Okay. We have conformed to a certain cast of the mind that we cannot do without football, that football is what it is to be American. But if I may beg your pardon, okay, I've used this analogy. People have criticized me for using it. But remember, many years ago, centuries ago, there was slavery. And in the South, people were willing to fight and die for slavery because slavery was a very profitable venture. But it was not the right thing to do. I believe the humanity of mankind far exceeds and is far much greater than any dollar sign, especially the humanity of the lives of our children. Adults can play, meaning we would still have college football and the NFL, but not our children. I'm a Christian and also a physician. It is the fundamental tenet of my faith that when as a parent you conceive a child, God invites you in to partake in the creation of life. And he gives you a gift of his spirit and a gift of life, your child. And as a parent and as society, you do everything within your means to nourish, protect, uphold that child. You would not intentionally expose and subject that child to the risk of harm or the risk of injury. Because that is what child abuse is. As a physician, I'm mandated by law to report any event of child abuse I witness. What is child abuse? It is the intentional or unintentional exposure of a child to the risk of injury. The injury does not have to occur. For example, if you leave your child home alone on a Friday night and go clubbing, and your neighbor finds out and reports you to the cops, if you do that two or three times, you could lose custody of that child. Meanwhile, no injury has occurred.
Right. Mm.
So now, you send a child to a field of football, and he receives 20, 30 blows to his head, and he's suffering brain damage. And we now know with such blows, 5, 10, 20, 30, up to 40 years later, that child will start manifesting symptoms of brain damage. If that is not child abuse, could somebody tell me what is it?
Well, I think you're right, 100%. And I think most right-thinking people would accept that. Let me ask a question. As we talk about children, and that's a part of this new book, is there evidence that children are more susceptible to brain damage because of their age, because their bodies are less developed, not mature as an adult's body? Or are we too early in the process of examining this situation to have been able to determine that, Doctor?
No, we're not. In fact, people wouldn't know in 1952, about 11 years before I was born. No, not 52, 57. 1957, either 52 or 57, but before 1960. The American Academy of Pediatrics published a position paper stating that no child under the age of 12 should play football, boxing, or wrestling, because this child's playing football undermines and damages the musculoskeletal development of a child. Then they were not aware of the inherent dangers of brain damage. This was 11 years before I was born.
Right.
1957. So the science is settled. The brains of children are developing. And the analogy I use, I tell people, you see, when a skyscraper is being built, there is a very intricate coordination of the foundation. The iron rods are being set very intricately. So you think about that. What if there is a slight earthquake that disrupts the interconnectivity of the iron rods for the foundation? The foundation of that building wouldn't be as strong as it would have been if there was no earthquake. Same happens in the brains of children. Their brains are developing the intricate interconnectivity of the brain cells. So when that is happening and now the child suffers a concussion, suffers another concussion, it disrupts the interconnections of the brain cells, and that child's brain would be, the development of that child's brain would be sufficiently undermined. And the myelination that goes on in their brains would also be undermined. This is something science has confirmed so many years ago. And another way to look at it is if a child begins to play at five, by the time that child is 20 years old, he now has a cumulative exposure of 15 years. The greater the cumulative exposure, the greater and more serious the brain damage. Does that make sense?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So in my book, I went at length. It took me almost 1 year to write that book, to explain these things in very layman's terms, so that each and every parent could read them. And as a Christian, there is the parable of the lost sheep. Even if I could save just one child, then I would thank the Lord God Almighty, I have done a good job. Because we all are members of one another. We are one body, one spirit, one hope. Whatever happens to one child happens to all of us.
Can you put something in context for me? I don't want to be presumptuous here, but your native country, Nigeria, I would think the most popular sport in that country is football, soccer,
yes,
accurately.
Soccer, yes.
Yeah. And so we have started to hear about soccer players, especially yes. those who repeatedly head the ball.
Yes.
Suffering from CTE or CTE symptoms or brain damage, et cetera, et cetera. It makes sense. It's contact with a fast-moving object. It's a reasonably hard object. Those of us who played soccer, and I played only as a kid and only recreationally, but I know there were a few occasions where I went to head the ball and went, ow, that hurt. If you eliminated the header from soccer, do you essentially eliminate an extraordinarily high percentage of the chance of these young people or anybody Having brain damage?
What happens in the management of risk is you mitigate exposure to the risk.
Of course.
When it comes to soccer, it has been my position there should not be any heading
right.
in soccer below the age of 18. And if you notice, soccer is a very high dexterity, high visual, spatial sport. Children below the ages of 12 to 14 have not developed that neurological capacity. And that is why the prevalence of concussions are high in lacrosse and soccer. So it has been my position that no child under the age of 14 should play soccer, dribble soccer, as we play it today. It should be from 14 to about 18. Now, we should develop a less dribble and less contact form of soccer for younger children. Why? When you begin to expose children to traumatic brain injury at a very early age, when they become older, they are now less intelligent soccer players, assuming they become professional. Because repeated blows of the head undermines the intelligence of a child as the child gets older. So paradoxically, exposing children to soccer at a very young age actually makes them, when they become adults, less intelligent players. And I know these things are very difficult. These things I'm saying could be difficult for many of us. But we need to recognize that the truth is always inconvenient. And the truth is always difficult, sometimes painful. But we cannot deny the truth because of its inconvenience. Because guess what? Come what may, the truth will always prevail. The truth, in spite of its inconvenience, is liberating, is empowering, and is enlightening.
We don't want to keep you too much longer. You've been very generous with your time, but I want to ask you how you feel about this now 15-year journey that you are on. Do you feel frustrated? Do you feel you are getting your message out? And do you feel it is being heard and accepted?
Well, you know, it's never been about me. I never made it about me, just like I met Mike Webster. It's been almost like a Christian calling for me. So I have to speak my truth. I have to do whatever I can as a physician and as a Christian to get the word out. I think that is all I could do. This is something far above and beyond one individual.
Well, can I ask you, Doctor, are you encouraged or frustrated? How about that?
I'm very encouraged.
Good.
Very encouraged. Very, very encouraged.
I look forward to reading the new book, and we thank you very much for your time today. We hope you're well, you and your family, and we thank you very much for the extraordinary work that you have done, and the gift that you have given us is the knowledge of what is happening, what can happen, what has happened with athletes in many sports. We thank you very much.
God bless you, Bob. Thank you so much.